This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Ned, Bluey.
That's right. When you said before, you were like, oh, there's another character starting with B. I was going to say Blue's Clues, but that's too close to Bluey.
That's Bluey. Just Bluey. Oh, my God. I never thought of the fact that Blue's Clues
is also
Bluey
a dog.
Blue is a dog.
Blue is a dog. Bluey is a dog.
Oh.
Blue's Clues
I'd love
was
a crossover.
Not a,
I'd love a crossover where our Bluey tries to solve a mystery with Blue.
Right. Actually, I tell you what, and no shade thrown at Blue's Clues because I used to watch Blue's Clues and I've never watched an episode of Bluey,
yes.
So I am more affectionate towards Blue's Clues. But Bluey, from what I understand, has full conversations. Like, she lives as a human but is a dog.
They're anthropomorphic, yeah.
Blue's Clues was just like, meow, meow.
Yeah, no.
And it's like, I can see, dude.
Stop
putting your blue prints everywhere, right?
They did a fair bit of clue finding, a lot of talking.
No, just barked.
Bluey, though, very much does speak with an Australian accent.
Yes.
So does Bluey's dad, mum, all of Bluey's family.
Well,
they all speak an Australian accent.
From Adelaide, I think.
Right, okay. Well, they speak with an Australian accent, except instead of dance, they say dance. So that's probably going to be the big difference there. But that's Nick. The point I'm making is that we were telling a story on the show only 2 weeks ago about the fact that Peppa Pig, American kids are watching so much of it in lockdown that some of, like, American toddlers are starting to develop a bit of a British twang.
They're like, hello, Mummy Pig.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's like, oh, I don't like that.
Their mother's pigs and also speaking with a British accent.
Yeah.
Apparently, the same thing is happening in some isolated cases with Bluey.
Kids Bluey.
But it's not so much the accent. Like, words like dunny and stuff like that are starting to make their way into American kids' vernacular.
That's better.
Much better.
You can't get rid of that, because once a kid starts calling something, they don't know how to call it anything else.
Yep.
Just having them occasionally have a twang, you can do that you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting them to say, like, you're fed up or whatever.
Yeah. But dunny is the big. That's the prize.
Dunny.
Paul Jennings couldn't get that done.
No.
Morris Gleisman couldn't get that done.
No.
We're talking about being able to use the word dunny as
someone's
a toilet.
Over.
Americans doing that.
Yeah.
Tremendous. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment. I mean, they could win Pulitzer Prizes, like children's television awards, but getting American kids to say dunny instead of toilet, that's a real victory.
It really is. I'm just worried that we will become less unicorn-like as a people to the Americans.
I see.
Because when I went over to America, people couldn't believe it. It
all
was like I was a leprechaun
words,
or a goblin or something. Mm-hmm. They couldn't believe that I existed.
Yep.
If kids there start just speaking like me, when I go over there, they're like, yeah, whatever. My kid can do that.
You start trying to tell people about drop bears and stuff. Yeah. They know too much about it. So they know that it's not true.
They're like, you know why I know that's not true? Because they never met one in Bluey.
Because I've seen Blinky Bill.
Yeah.
He's not a drop bear. He's a koala.
He's nice
like,
as. He wears overalls. Yeah. It's like, damn it.
I say this. There are a couple of Australian shows that are doing big things overseas at the moment. Bluey is one of them.
Yeah.
But I think the Wiggles like sort of led the way in the
90s.
How did Blinky not go along for that ride as well? So as the Wiggles opened American children's eyes to Australia, how did they not get into Blinky Bill?
I tell you why, because the Wiggles were like, okay, so the Wiggles were like, hot potato. Yeah. Bluey's like, oh, come on, Mum, how are we going? But every single character in Blinky Bill was like, and it's like, that's not even an accent of anything. Blinky Bill's like, whoa, I love you, I'm not so much.
All right, enough. I won't sit here and hear any besmirching of Blinky Bill.
I'm just giving you a reason as to why.
Any of the characters in Gumnut Hill, quite frankly.
Yeah. Because if you don't love them, no one will.
Get the hell out. Get the hell out.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, a bunch of new sports being added to the Olympics. Very exciting. You've got rock climbing. You've got surfing. You've got karate. You've got baseball, softball. You could potentially be an Olympian. Not many people start at 30, but who knows?
Oh, no, I watched a bit of the softball, the Australia versus Canada stuff on the weekend, and no, that's not how I play softball.
Cool.
I play softball with my glove in one hand and a can of beer in the other, so I didn't see anyone doing that.
Yeah, that's nice that you know your own limitations,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
But another one of the sports that's been added is skateboarding, which I, as a kid who tried to skate, I got to the point where I could ollie and kickflip as, I think, a 13-year-old, and now I can do neither of those things.
Yeah.
But I play a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, so I was
just basically the same thing.
Exactly right.
Yeah, surely.
Exactly right. I decided to watch it because I was like, first of all, it's cool to watch a sport that's been added for the first time because they're ironing out the kinks, I think, of like, all right, this is what it'll look
like. How do we do this in the Olympics?
Exactly right. And I didn't watch any of the other ones, but I think I've seen karate tournaments. They're very official. They're very by the books. You can know how to run it. Same with rock climbing. just climb up a wall.
Well, the rowing, obviously, we got some local rowers in. I watched a bit of the rowing on the weekend. Yeah. And honestly, the most out of order thing that happened on the rowing was there was a fish that jumped out behind. They crossed to the Netherlands team in the four person rowing, and there was just this fish that just
did this little free willy thing behind.
Yeah, they did this little free willy thing behind them, and I was like, oh my God.
This isn't about you, fish. You get your own time with Animal Planet, all right? But I think skateboarding has the most kinks that need ironing out. Because
name some of them. You watched. I watched it.
It was so funny watching a sport that I feel like is generally considered to be quite a laid back, like, yeah, no worries,
it's got a
brother.
Whole culture. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Watching them try to like fit into the
Olympic structure
was so funny because the commentators that were talking were skateboard fans. They're skateboard commentators. Yep. One of them said that was really rad.
Okay, yeah.
And then the other one corrected him by saying, yeah, an absolute great showing by Owens there.
Yeah, like, yeah, there we go. Yeah, just like, teed it up.
You can't say words like gnarly and radical when you're at
Bruce,
the Olympics.
Bruce McAvaney will give it a bit of that's special. He'll say that, but he's not going to say, that's rad.
God, that was gnarly.
That was gnarly, guys. Yeah, I get it. I
also saw after one of the heats, I saw it once and then I saw it in nearly every single other one. When they cut to the athlete after they've just done like a skate, they were chucking up shuckers every time.
That's right. That's awesome.
When it was like, you know, when they cut to the diving team and it's like, they got a 8.7 out of 10 when they were doing that for the skaters, instead of like doing like a
nice
good
polite clap
or a nod, they were giving it a shucker, no worries. Mm-hmm. Also, it's funny to see most of them wearing AirPods.
Oh, yeah, so they're allowed to listen to their tunes.
Surely you're not. Surely the most important thing in your mind at that point is, I'm at the Olympics, I need to do well.
I guess that's what you do at the skate park, though, isn't it? You whack your headphones on, and you just get into the zone.
But them like wearing like high, the Vans skates as an Olympic uniform is very
high eights.
Because they have to wear the shirts for it, so you know that where they're from, they're Olympians, like the country they're representing. But like down beneath, some of them were wearing cargo shorts. Some of them were wearing three-quarter pants. Some of them were wearing, like, they're just dressed like skaters.
It's like choose your character on Tony Hawk, except the top part of your body, not changeable, not an option.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, Ned, right now, just taking a bit of a look at some school camp news. Obviously, we're the home of, like, the Year 9 school camp here in Canberra. A lot of interstate schools will come here to check out Parliament House, War Memorial, do the whole thing.
If you ask anyone if they've been to Canberra before, a lot of people's answer will be like, oh yeah, I went in grade 9 as a school trip. So and then that, your answer, if someone asks you as an adult, and you're also an adult, hey, have you been to Canberra before? And you mention a time before you were 15.
Mm-hmm.
No, you haven't then.
Yeah, you've got to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't been anywhere.
Yeah, I went there. I didn't love it because I had to travel around with Mrs. Harrington, who hated me all the time. Yep. It's like, then you didn't come here, did you?
You didn't go to any restaurants. Yeah, you didn't do anything that's actually fun.
Exactly.
I mean, all those things we mentioned are fun, but you know what I mean.
You were with a teacher.
Ned, that's obviously been put on hold a little bit as the very notion of going into state at the moment is pretty much on hold for most people. I've seen something that is a great idea in theory, and I've really enjoyed local businesses helping out, local businesses being helped out by schools, and that's great. You know, obviously some of our purpose-built accommodation here for school camps doing it tough.
Of course.
And schools in Canberra going, we want kids to have the school camp experience.
Yeah.
So schools are just going to Canberra for their school camps.
Schools from
local Canberra schools.
Are just going down the road.
Are just going and having a sleepover at a place that's kind of just down the road and making that the school camp.
Do you
which
think,
is better than nothing, is what they're saying. They want the kids to have the overnight experience and team bonding and all that stuff that is a school camp. But this is a lot like when I used to go, like mum and dad and I used to go on Christmas holidays to my grandma's house, and she lived two suburbs over.
Yeah, you're like,
and I'd be like, why can't I just stay home with my PlayStation? And
I was
like,
why do I
have to go to grandma's house for three nights?
I think you and I were pretty similar, but I think different in specific ways in primary school. We both know the answer, but do you think you would have been one of the kids that's like, why am I here?
Yes.
Why am I not at home?
Yes, I would have been.
This is so dumb.
Yep, I'd have been like, I live 10 minutes away from here.
You wouldn't have seen it as like a big sleepover with all your friends and
no,
stuff?
No. Yeah. Okay. No. And I was the exact same because I was the party pooper that when they'd be like, we're doing a school lock-in. We're going to watch movies and sleep in the gym. I'd be like, there's no bed in there. Why would you do that?
So I'm sleeping on a blanket. A
bunch of eight-year-olds would be like, yay, we'll have lollies. And I'd be like, yeah, but when it's 2 a.m, you're sleeping on a gym mat. Yeah. That doesn't sound fun at all.
Like, guess what, guys? We're doing the athletics carnival today. Josh's like, well, I have no time for this. I've got to get my taxes done.
I don't think I'm going to become an Olympic high jumper. So let's maybe not do the athletics carnival.
How about I work in the canteen instead?
Like, Josh, this isn't all about you. All right? Other kids enjoy it. That's why we're doing
it. We kind of do holistic stuff so that everyone can get involved. It's not our fault if you just refuse to play.
I just cannot imagine that as much as the kids probably enjoy having the sleepover aspect of all of this, you are still very, very close to home.
Absolutely. And with how cold it is at the moment as well.
Yeah. And at this point, this is the problem I have with the Canberra kids going on a Canberra school camp. I'm not even from Canberra. I wasn't born here. But I've done the War Memorial and Parliament House that many times with visiting family and friends. I could host tours myself down there. So what are the kids going down there to do? Like, yeah, we know. We know.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
So there's been a little bit of a controversial thing that's gone online about a person who has tipped a pizza delivery man with a slice of pizza.
Oh, right. So, like, you just opened the box. And
there
like,
you go, Chief. Enjoy.
Here's something for you.
Yeah. That one's for the dealer.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good.
No, that's
or
crappy.
Or even legal.
It's really bad.
Is this in America?
Because this is in America.
I've never tipped a pizza delivery guy, I'll be fully honest.
No, well, the tipping thing is not necessarily a part of everything here in Australia, you know?
Well, and that's the thing.
My sister stayed at Crown Towers recently. Her and her boyfriend went there for a romantic evening.
Sure.
And apparently... she said to me there was a moment where my accent came out of my mouth, like Kate was talking to me. She was like, and I was like, oh, thanks for that. And there was like a look on the guy's face.
Like, I'm not getting
a tip. Yeah, which I imagine you know if you're an Australian, like a concierge, you're not going to get a tip. But if you hear, like, because Crown Towers are very fancy, a lot of international guests, if you heard an accent, you might be like, bonus, potentially in the market for a tip here because they don't know not to tip. Hell yeah. And Kay went, cheers for that, love. Yeah, and no worries. He was like, oh, damn it. But this is a terrible tip.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather no tip than getting just a slice of someone else's pizza when I work at a pizza store.
Yeah.
Like, he's got enough pizza.
Especially when pizza's very, very circumstantial. It's like people have their favorite types of pizzas, their favorite toppings.
Of course.
If someone's like to me, well, I mean, I guess I'm the exception to the rule, as many people are, in that I'll eat anything that's on pizza.
Yes.
So I don't care. But if someone was like, here you go, here's an anchovy and olive pizza, I'd be like, no.
Is it free? Yeah. I guess.
I don't want that, dude.
No, look, this is like Willy Wonka being asked if he wants some free chocolate. This guy comes from where the pizza comes from.
He can have as much pizza as he
wants. He's hungry for pizza.
Yeah.
Have some when you get back.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I know, and I understand you can't just eat whatever when you work in a shop.
No.
I used to work at Hungry Jack's. I mean, I get it. But at the same time,
you can't tell me there's not leftover pizza.
When I'd go on break, you know, you could make yourself an absolute monstrosity of a burger. That would be absolutely fantastic. I'm sure the same thing applies at a pizza place.
Exactly right. It's like when you see Bill Gates go on Ellen's show and she's like, I'm going to donate 20 grams to this gorilla conservation thing. And he's like, you realize I'm worth $100 billion?
Yeah, if I'd known...
I don't even know what 20 grand is.
If I'd known you were only going to donate 20 grand, I wouldn't have rocked up today.
Do you know that? This is such a waste of my time.
Same thing with the pizza guy.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Right now, Destiny...
That's right. There's a game that we play called The Hat of Destiny. It's kind of a way for us to dabble with mystery and destiny and also catch up with what you guys got up to over the weekend. There's a hat in the studio. It's got a bunch of activities written on little bits of paper, scrunched up. Josh and I will pull out an activity each. If you've done either Josh's activity or my activity, you get on the phone 131060. If it's your activity that they've done, you get a point. So Josh or me... The first of five gets to give the other person the dare of destiny. Now,
all right, my activity for the week
is
over the weekend. Did you skip a rock?
Mine was, did you go rowing? Simple as that. Get on the phone, 131060.
You could be a winner right now. We've got Daniel on the line from Franklin. Daniel, how are you this morning?
Not too bad, boys.
Not too bad, Daniel. Now, before we get to what you did, I like to just catch up, see if we can pick up any hints beforehand. Mm-hmm. Daniel, how was your weekend?
It was actually pretty enjoyable.
Pretty enjoyable. Right, you weren't too cold? You weren't too wet?
Nah, nothing too wet. Cold in Canberra, come on.
Yeah, that's good call there. Good call.
This doesn't. All right. Mate, I've not done a lot of rowing, but I know the one part you get
a little bit
get wet. You get pretty wet.
Enough small talk.
sure.
Here we go. There is only one thing left to do now. Daniel.
Daniel.
What did you get up to over the weekend?
I got up to skipping stones with my son.
Beautiful. Yep. I love it.
And what did you do?
Skipping stones with his son.
Skipping stones with his son. I thought you said you had a nice day with your son,
no,
and then
no.
I thought there was going to be another reveal.
No, he said skipping stones with your son.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much, Daniel. Well, I see, because he didn't say rocks. So yeah. I was listening for the word rock.
Right.
But yeah, it would be skipping stones more. And I can tell, by the way, by the handwriting, you wrote this, skipped a rock.
Skipped a rock.
You didn't want to write skipping stones?
No, absolutely not. The scores as they currently stand are 1-1. That's not good for me. I could have taken a
2-point
lead.
Thank you very much for your call this morning, mate, and sounds like a lovely weekend.
No worries, boys.
Yeah, are you any good, actually? Are you any good, Daniel? Can you get more than 3?
22.
Nah, there's no way. You're lying because you're on the radio. There's no way we can prove this.
For that kind of hubris as well, I'm going to give you a $25 voucher to spend at PJ's in the city. Congratulations, Daniel. Thank you very much for being the caller of destiny this morning.
There's no way. 22 times?
1-1 in the quest to 5 next week, so you can break the tie.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I consider Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis to be potentially one of the best Hollywood couples because they seem like they're super in love. They have a bunch of kids. They really seem like they're happy with each other. But at the end of the day, I don't hear about them any more than I need to.
Yeah.
I hear every now and again Ashton will... Because Ashton Kutcher is barely an actor. He essentially invests in Bitcoin and is insanely rich.
He's an activist and professional rich man.
Exactly.
That's really
right.
All he seems to do. I love Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher because they had the couple goal of like they were friends first.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was just like, how about we... Oh, yeah.
Get married and have a bunch of kids.
Done. Yeah.
But that's it. I like that they're not in your face ever. It's never like with, like you said before, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. It's almost like.
For me, they're also, it's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault.
For me, they're also couple goals, but the way they're reported on, it's like, we get it, guys. They're very in love.
Actually, yeah, Hailey Bieber and Justin Bieber are a great example of like, oh my God, I don't
very
care.
In love, but enough.
Yes, I get. I know they have a puppy.
It's funny because this is still the strange thing with celebrity culture. It's like we don't have to consume this stuff.
Yeah, I know,
but it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's hard
to
avoid.
If I would like to exist in pop culture, I kind of do need to be aware of these things.
Yeah.
They have arguments just like us, Mila and Ashton, not Hailey and Justin. I'm sure they'd never argue about anything. But they got into a fight because Ashton Kutcher was one of the first few hundred people to secure a seat on the Virgin Galactic flight.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, we've seen works. Exactly right. And it's not a competition, but Jeff Bezos was charging, what, $28 million? Between $200,000 and $250,000 for a flight on Virgin Galactic.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't go as high, I think. Maybe that's what it is.
Look, the interesting part about that is we've already got airline price wars with galactic flights.
Yeah, that's not good. And one of them is really underselling the other.
Yeah.
If one's $28 million and the other's $200,000... You need to look at your prices.
He's hoping Jetstar get involved and start doing those crazy $1 flights.
We'll take you as close to space as we can get you.
Yeah.
Mila had a conversation with Ashton, was like, you're not going. She's like, he said...
Oh, wow.
When I got married and had kids, my wife basically encouraged that it was not a smart family decision to be heading into space when we have young children.
I must admit, I agree.
Selling my ticket back to Virgin Galactic.
Wow.
She convinced him. She's like, we've just had kids. Why do you need to go to space?
Can you imagine the cancellation fee on that? Yeah, when you cancel a flight.
If you're paying $200,000 for a flight, that's it.
And they're like, no, that'll be $69 to cancel, though. If you're canceling a $200,000 flight.
Yeah.
Oh, and because you buy a plane with the amount it costs to cancel that flight.
Because you were one of the first couple of hundred people on the plane. Richard Branson would know.
Yeah, they'd be let down. They'd be let down.
What I would do, because you don't have to pay the cancellation fee, is like, I just never turn up for the flight.
Yep.
But then you're one of so few people that Richard Branson himself would probably call you and be like, hey, you're just like wasting my money, huh? I know I've got a lot of it.
I would absolutely love it too if the Richard Branson phone call still began with boom, boom, boom. Paging Mr. Kutcher.
Yeah.
Where the hell are you?
What the hell are you doing? I just love that even though they're super rich, super famous, they have everything, I don't know, whatever, they still get into fights about selling stuff that the other person has.
Right.
I feel like that's such a calling card for people in relationships. I've done it. to girlfriends that I've had in the past. Girlfriends have done it to me in the past. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, and no more plants.
Yeah.
No more plants.
Yeah, we can't have
I'm
any more.
I'm sorry. Yep. I hate to put my foot down because...
No more succulents.
No more succulents. Yep. There's more succulent than house at the moment.
It's so funny because...
I feel like I'm George of the Jungle.
My mum, because Dad's like always worked in horticulture, my mum's the same.
Yeah, but she can't say
but with Dad, yeah. She's like, no more plants. No more gardening. They sold their old house because it was requiring their whole weekend to keep the garden up.
There you go.
So she was like, we need to not have a garden anymore.
And he was like, no, we need to move house.
Yeah. They now live on a nursery. So yeah, they really did stuff that up.
131060, I would love to know, what did your partner make you sell? You really loved it.
Yeah.
It was a collector's thing. You had it from when you were a kid, but your partner was like, it's got to go.
If there's something out there that you've gone, yeah, I did have to give that up. 131060 is the number to call right now. If not, just enjoy your massive collection of Pop Funkos or whatever you've got.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Q104.7.
Josh, I have been kept up at night many, many, many times just because of the fact that I feel like I have a tough time falling to sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
Because of this job, I am up very, very early, so
I usually... yourself a lot of anxiety about waking up, like missing your alarm.
No, I do. I was just going to say that because I nap during the day, usually because I'm up so early, that by the time I get to bed, if I've slept for too long during the day, forget about it.
Oh, yeah, you're just too well rested.
Exactly right. I don't need to go to sleep, so my body's like, nah, dude, you did 3 hours of this just before. We don't need it again. So there is a list that has been, or a couple of tips and tricks handed out by the military about how to get to sleep, because they have to get to sleep in pretty uncomfortable situations. So the tips are as follows. You need to relax the muscles in your face, including tongue, jaw, and the muscles around your eyes.
Does it have any tips on how to do that? Because I don't know how to focus on my cheek muscles to make them relax.
Just do this.
Oh, God, that actually did work. Yeah, I literally was being a smartass then, but I just was like, what if I just... My face just started drooping. Yeah. I was like, oh, that is relaxing.
You can do it. You can be the test guinea pig.
That actually works.
So relax your face and relax the muscles in your face, including your tongue, jaw, and muscles around your eyes. Okay, do that.
I will say this. I'm exceptionally tired. Okay. So I think these are all going to work really
well.
This
will be perfect. Yeah. All right, ready? So do that, the first tip.
Yep,
okay, now drop your shoulders as far down as they'll go, followed by your upper and lower arm one side at a time. I saw you doing both at the same time, but that's okay. Breathe out, relaxing your chest, followed by your legs, starting from the thighs and working down. You look like you're wearing a pink hoodie at the moment. You look like a beanbag.
I'm very happy to look like a beanbag.
Okay, so now what you have to do is you just spend 10 seconds trying to clear your mind before thinking about one of these three following images, all right?
Okay.
Do you need 10 seconds or are you good?
No, just go.
Okay. You can either think about lying in a canoe on a calm lake with nothing but a clear blue sky above you, lying on a black velvet hammock in a pitch black room, or... You say, don't think to yourself over and over for about 10 seconds, and then apparently you'll be asleep.
I think that's the
one doesn't work.
No, the only reason I'd say the don't think would have to be the way I'd have to go is because the first thing I thought, both other situations woke me back up. Why am I in this black velvet hammock in this black room where I can't see anything? Okay. Who's put me in this room?
And how did you get out into the middle of a lake?
The canoe one is, I need some sunblock because I'm literally going to burn alive out here in this canoe. In the middle of a lake.
This is maybe part of the reason that you're not getting to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
You're overthinking things too much.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Hit 104.7. Hey, Ned, I have solved something that has been the bane of my existence for literally since I started getting homework, and that is procrastination.
Right.
I have been a champion procrastinator for most of my life, but... Recently, it's become somewhat of a problem. I've probably not been to the gym in about 6 weeks. It's just been, how do I keep putting that off?
Yeah.
I literally got dressed to go to the gym last week, walked in. There were too many people in there in my mind.
Yeah.
It was too busy. I was going to have to like wait for equipment and stuff. Just walk straight out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I literally got dressed.
I'm wearing
my runners.
Yeah, you were there.
I'm there. And I still managed to procrastinate on going to the gym.
You're like, well.
I made an excuse while there and just walked out.
It would have been more effort for you to go home than it would have been to just
100%,
stay there and hang out.
And I would have felt better if I'd done it. Yeah. That's how good I am at procrastinating. Yeah. But the way this has become a real issue is my house at the moment, my apartment, is just a series of messes. Like there's literally, there's a pile of clothes in my bedroom that needs to be sorted out. My spare room at the moment, that's the biggest one, is currently more of a storage room. I need to work out how to see the spare bed in there ever again with all the crap that's in there.
Well, because every single state has closed itself off to every single other state, no one's going in there.
No
so
guests.
Yeah, you've got zero. In terms of procrastination, it's the curse that you get. It's like, well, I've got no real timeline on this at all.
I started watching a video online over the weekend that caused a series of brainwaves to occur that have essentially solved procrastination as a problem for humanity.
Okay.
It's going to be a little complicated, so go with me on it, right? I watched a video of Troy Sivan show Architectural Digest his Melbourne house.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing place. It's steeped in history. It's got all these cool little things to... It was an old building. Yeah. He's renovated it, made it this really nice house.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I did notice is that Troy Sivan is younger than me, this guy living on his own, and the house is immaculate. Mm-hmm. Like, it is immaculate.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, every time I've watched one of these Architectural Digest things, the house is immaculate.
Of course.
Because they know that they're getting an AD to come and take a look at their house and their interior design and all of this stuff. David Arbour did the same thing when they went through his apartment. Margot Robbie's house looks beautiful in the thing that they've done. She did the 73 questions thing.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is have your house professionally photographed once every 2 weeks.
Okay. Once every 2 weeks.
Knowing that eventually it will be used in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know which photo, but at some point they will pick a photo and just put it in a magazine and show everybody.
Okay.
So maybe it'd be like Canberra Weekly or something, like, you know, one of our local magazines.
Yeah.
Basically, they'll just come and shoot your house once every 3 weeks, maybe once a month.
Yeah.
You have to keep it in photograph-ready condition. A, you don't know when they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
B, you don't know the photo they're going to use in the magazine.
Yeah.
So they probably... You'd get it ready the first few times, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh, my God, I want my house to be presentable.
Yeah.
Maybe by the sixth, seventh time they do it, you've fallen off a little bit.
Of course.
You're like, ah, they're never using my photos. Yeah. And then, boom, that's the one they use.
Right.
This would keep you on track for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I would keep my house immaculate at all times if I thought maybe there was a chance someone was going to come and professionally photograph it.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, this works with everything. Imagine if you had to, like, know that one time you took a photo, that photo was going to be on the cover of Men's Health.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go to the gym, wouldn't you? You'd stay in good shape because you're like, you don't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to happen.
You'll just at any point be dragged into a photo
shoot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden you're on like Joel Creasy looks amazing on the front of Men's Health. That could happen. You don't get any prep time. It's just you have to stay, as Will Smith says for his movies, constantly ready.
You do have
you
to
You don't
say,
have to prepare if you're constantly ready.
Yeah. A few things, obviously.
I would imagine there are a few things.
A few things. Circling back a couple of minutes ago, the Margot Robbie, Troy Sivan, you know, they're super rich, so they have cleaners to do that.
I understand.
Good, all right. So we'll move on from that because we have to move on. So the Canberra Weekly, in your mind, or any kind of magazine, paying thousands of photographers a week to go to every single person's house in Canberra just in case they get used.
Yeah.
And also, how you said you're signing up Men's Health. They get people like Hugh Jackman, Joel Creasy, like you said, Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, any rhyme that's available.
No, there's some problems with it.
Yeah. You need to say, essentially, you need to start the Procrastinations Digest.
Yeah,
and at some point, you'll be put on the cover.
And I think what's great about that, because you've actually come up with a better idea than my idea, people self-submit, and then you don't know when we're going to pick one of your photos. And what the magazine becomes is a magazine of just people judging other people's houses. That would be fantastic.
You're signing up for judgment.
I would have a subscription to that magazine tomorrow.
That was the Ned and Josh, podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.